Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for the Sunday stream. Relax show tonight, but I note that there is an epidemic. We have to address it. There is an epidemic of rapes. I believe that free thinkers who are original, who go against the grain, must have some access to a time machine because they go back in the past, they rape women, and then women of the current timeline suddenly all remember all together. It's impossible that after years, after decades, sometimes women suddenly, all of a sudden, all remember a rape, that they suddenly feel the need to be confiding, to be revealing to the media, to the police. It's like, oh, suddenly this guy is successful and I think he raped me. He raped me 10 years ago. He raped me 5 years ago. He raped me when I was 16 years old. The only explanation that I see is that these free thinkers must have been traveling in the past, and as the timelines of their impact onto the space-time continuum unfolded, they must have particularly affected the timelines of these women, and suddenly these women remember a past rape, which conveniently happens just when it's needed to crash their career. End of the line. Joel says Russell Brand was at the same party as Brett Kavanaugh. Oh yeah, Russell Brand, Brett Kavanaugh, Julian Assange, all doing the rape, one after the other, a gangbang rape. Baldur says the Sharia, the central bankers, the richest family on earth that I know of. He has also connections to Tavistock. Talking about the Rothschild. Okay. We had a super chat on Entropy. James Rhodes was saying, hey, Jeff, I saw Kurt Doolittle's post about European evolutionary strategy on X and told him I'd like to hear about it on your show. Not sure if you're taking guests these days, but I've enjoyed his appearances on the show, and he replied to me in the affirmative. I appreciate your show. Glad to see you're doing well on the North Pole. Indeed, I'm doing well. My life is really good. And thank you so much for the $50 donation. Very appreciated. I'm not close to the idea of having Kurt Doolittle. I really want to go slow on guests. I am feeling very good in this autistic little space that we have here. But let's go check out his Twitter that you're talking about. The European Group Evolutionary Strategy. All civilizations produce a group strategy, a mythology, a method of argument to advance them, and institutions of intergenerational transfer to persist them. Classes and sexes produce variations on them. All civilizations appear to have produced them in the Axial Age, recovering from the Bronze Age collapse and anchored at that point, and cannot evolve without crisis or change without conquest. 2. Europeans, for accidental geographic reasons, developed truthful testimony, military reporting as a norm, sovereignty and reciprocity, heroism and duty, excellence and beauty as a group strategy, and metalworking and martial conquest as the high-ranking positions. The Smith and the Demon, the Faust myth. These are our founding mythos. With cunning and technology, we can outwit the dark forces of men, gods, demons, and nature. This is the male group strategy. I call this strategy Aristotelianism, elitism, but it is far older, and the proper term, Arianism, meaning European branch of the Indo-Europeans, is unfashionable. This strategy produces the optimum adaptation of man because of the highest correspondence to physical, natural, and evolutionary laws. With this strategy, in a few centuries in the Bronze Age, Indo-European expansion, a few centuries in the Iron Age, Mediterranean expansion and a few centuries in the modern Steel Age, North Sea expansion, Europeans dragged mankind kicking and screaming out of ignorance, hard labor, poverty, starvation, disease, suffering, early mortality, endemic warfare, and victimization by nature. We do not need to be first, but the fastest. The question is, why all other civilization failed to discover continuous adaptation and instead stagnated or collapsed? The answer is rather obvious. The human want of stability and his hatred of adversarial markets and the inability to shrink the underclass so that a majority genetic middle can form, or as in the case of the Hindus and Chinese, and less so the Europeans, an elite caste can form. The full explanation of that European strategy is: 1. A universal militia, regardless of cost. 2. Excellence and heroism, regardless of cost. 3. Duty and commons, regardless of cost. 4. Truth and hope, regardless of cost. 5. Promise and contract, regardless of cost. 6. Sovereignty and reciprocity, regardless of cost. 7. The natural law and jury, regardless of cost. 8. Wherein every man, a soldier, sheriff, judge, and his own legislator of his own demonstrated interest. I want to say something here about the whole regardless of cost. It is also one of the weaknesses of the European society. So the fact that excellence and heroism, regardless of cost, that may be very good in a Braveheart type situation where your people needs a defender and you're willing to sacrifice your own life to protect your descent. It's good in a 300 type situation where it is okay to sacrifice the old and the males so that the female with the line of descent that she is raising can go on living. Same thing for the commons, duty and the commons, regardless of cost. That may be good if you're talking about protecting a needed common, such as the law, such as the local sheriff, whatever it is that you publicly contribute to that you need. And that keeps our society stable. But this regardless of cost aspect of European society came to be exploited. It came to be exploited through leftism. And, you know, today the leftists will argue that healthcare is your responsibility as a taxpayer, the healthcare of someone else. So here's a commons and here's a duty we have been appealed to regardless of cost, which makes us go much beyond what was needed to maintain European society. Excellence and heroism. You'll see a lot of appeal to heroism in leftist activism, LGBT type of activism. This whole silence is violence. This whole you have to stand for the person who doesn't have a voice. You have to stand for the victimized, you have to stand for the trans. Sacrifice yourself as a white man for leaving the space, leaving the microphone, leaving the whatever to someone else. That's a leftist heroism that has seeped in a society that had evolved to care a lot about heroes. But the heroes of today are the parasites of yesterday. So this regardless of cost, I don't know if Kurt Doolittle has thought it through. And whether to be saying that that's good, it may be our weakness. That there was a worth to pursue some of these elements at high cost, but maybe not regardless of cost. Maybe that was too much. But I agree with him as a descriptive enterprise for European civilization. Yes, we have pursued a lot of this. I mean, the American military, isn't that a universal militia regardless of cost? I mean, it's ridiculous at this point. It even includes Ukraine. And as a result, the only possibility for social organization is voluntary markets in association, cooperation, production, reproduction, commons, polities, and war. Together producing the fastest possible means of human adaptation to circumstances, including the continuous evolutionary production of human agency, human capital. Yes, that is a very good one. I believe that basically capitalism works because it mirrors nature. Capitalism works because it mirrors natural selection. Doesn't have to mirror it perfectly. Of course, dollars are not babies. There's kind of an imperfect conversion here. Sure, there is a point in your life at which giving you $100,000 will lead you to have one more baby. But the equation isn't like, it's not like if you get $1,000,000, you're not going to get 10 babies for it. The equation is non-linear. But I believe that the fact that there's an equation, the fact that there is some form of elimination happening in nature and some form of elimination happening in the economic system is why capitalism works so well. It's because it takes inspiration from nature and it follows its rules. So as there is always a clash between whatever societies will do and the current existing forces of natural selection. In fact, there is always a clash between the phenotype and the genotype in biology. Richard Dawkins describes this in The Extended Phenotype. There's always a war. There's always the phenotype is never fit enough, and it always gets fitter. Fitter, but late. And so it's fitter for a world that already doesn't exist, you see. But the fact that, and it's not that the economy will, in any existing capitalist system, it's not that the economy will succeed at actually representing natural selection. There's all sorts of tricks. There's people who get rich and don't deserve it. There's all sorts of passes that are unjust in the capitalist system. But the fact that it kind of tries to copy it in a pale way, in a uncertain and probabilistic way, the fact that you can have the elimination of a corporation because it's a fail, because it's a drain, because it's not useful enough, that is why capitalism works so well. By the domestication of man by market eugenics, absolutely. Absolutely well seen here by Kurt Doolittle. And as a result, the direction of surpluses to the production of commons and the multiples of returns produced therefrom. Yes, surpluses. What the leftists consider to be theft is actually a key to our civilization working. I agree. Including the unique high trust society and the informational, scientific, technological, medical, economic, social, political, and military benefits therefrom, yielding a genetic distribution free of the burden of underclass consumption and the costs of their organization, administration, and care. Well, excellent post by Kurt Doolittle. Most of this is thoughts that I've already discussed with Kurt. This is not new thinking from him, but I see this conception that he has of the unique evolutionary history of Europeans as developed across the years. It's been might be a decade at this point that he's been thinking about these questions. Even more, perhaps there was more before and I didn't know about it. But yeah, Kurt Doolittle is a very good thinker on these questions. I have a great respect for his desire to understand. And it would be a pleasure, of course, to have him on the show. But give me a couple of months. I really appreciate your donation, but I want to protect my autistic space of the internet. And I'll certainly talk to Kurt Doolittle one more time before I die. Trigmamel sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I was looking at Corollas, the same model of Corollas in 2023. Now cost $23,355. I paid $19,000 in 2021. The normie squeeze is here. Absolutely. The normie squeeze is here. And I got, I forgot to pull it, but I got a crying normie one more time. There she is. Here, now that you remind me, let's include her in the show. The normie squeeze, ladies and gentlemen, keeps going. Why are they always in their car? Why do they always have leather seats? This comes as an option. This is a $2,000 decision that you've made because you were careless. This is the car salesman saying you will love our leather seats. The car salesman, okay, makes money from you. He sells you car seats that are not worth $2,000. He gets you to pay $2,000 because you don't think about it. I know she hasn't said a word yet, but I just want to talk about this because this pisses me off. The car salesman knows that you're an easy to grab victim because you're in the space of loans and oh, it's just a coffee every month. It's just $2 on my loan. Yeah, but you're going to keep paying that $2 until you pay $2,000. So it's like, The car salesman, you have to approach them as dangerous entities. Let me tell you, I'm so intimidating to the car salesman. At this point, they're not even trying. The car salesman, you know, this moment where you know he's going to talk about options. He looked at me last time I bought a car and he said, so you guys are not the kind of people who are going to buy any of these options. I mean, he didn't even try. This was his hope of making more money with me. But he looked at my eyes and he saw, okay, this guy, it's impossible that I'm ever going to sell anyone. Because I come to the office and I'm like, I want the cheapest car that I can buy new from you. I want zero options. I'm ready to pay cash now. Let's do it. And it's like, no, he's not going to try to offer options. And in this case, I had brought a little paper with the model number, exactly the type of equipment I wanted, all of the configurations I needed. That's what I want. And oh my God, can you save yourself some trouble? You could have saved yourself the trouble of paying more for the extra seat that you got here.
Everybody keeps saying it's going to get better. How is it going to get better? Our economy is so fucked that I work a full-time job.
Where is your husband? Where is your husband?
I make $21 an hour.
She's probably divorced.
We're working 40 hours a week.
See, I make... Where is your husband, lady?
I have no extra expenses, no bills out of my living. I have one credit card that's max because I've lived off of it.
I have. Where's the we here? I. There's no husband. So you are living a lifestyle that none of your ancestors ever lived. None of them. All of them knew that they needed a man. But you thought differently. You thought it was okay because, hey, a $27, $21, I don't know, whatever salary she's making, oh, isn't that good? Well, it's good until the government takes some, the union takes some, this and that, the dentist, the dental insurance, the insurance for this and that and this and that. And now you got nothing left already.
But other than that, I don't have cable.
You don't have cable. I never had cable.
Haven't had cable in 10 years. We have cell phones, but you know.
We have cell phones, so there's the first we. Is that a husband or is that children that you ran away with?
That's required to live on. But other than that, nothing extra. On paper, my bills are $2,701. My income is $2,710. Do the math. $9 a month before I pay.
You made these decisions. You put yourself in a situation where you would be dependent on a corporation to just go by, to just stay afloat. You went into this high luxury lifestyle, paying a car payment month by month, paying for a house month by month, paying for everything month by month. You have chosen this life. There would have been alternatives. You made these decisions. This is what we never get in these videos. Not a single one of the normie squeeze woman we've analyzed has come to the realization, hey, I decided to buy that house. Hey, I decided to buy these leather seats. I've put myself in a situation that probably the person loaning the money to me knew I couldn't handle, but I should have known that I couldn't handle it. Najel says 2,700 and she can't make it. Exactly. If your base payments for surviving without the food are 2,700, you are living in a overpriced area, overpriced car, overpriced house, overpriced everything. What, where the fuck do you live?
For food, gas, car repairs, any entertainment, there's no money for that.
Get a husband and play Monopoly with him.
And my car is dying. It's paid for, so I don't have car payments now that I'm going to replace.
2,700 per month, and she doesn't have car payments. What is she paying for? She has a high mortgage or a high rent or something like this.
And I don't know how to do that on $9 a month.
You can't, so you shouldn't have endorsed these costs.
$9 to feed myself, $9 to buy a car, $9 for insurance. Yeah. So at the end of the day,
I don't think women evolved to make that kind of decision, honestly. I'm gonna say it. I just think they should just trust a male to do these decisions, and they should fold when, because one of the big problems of women trusting males is that they will also try to get the male to expend a little more. They will try to get that slightly bigger apartment, that slightly bigger house, that slightly bigger car. And that's where the devil comes into your life. And honestly, what I found is that you shouldn't be influenced by women at all on anything. The best life you can get, and you're going to be fully self-sufficient and fully healthy financially, is when you can consider that any noise that comes from her mouth is just complete, it's misdirections from a snake. That is how you establish financial safety. Asferia says, I don't understand, JF. I'm dumb and I am fine financially. I even bought a Lexus. I don't even look at prices, but I have saved 100K. You have to try hard to waste money. Well, exactly. These people don't look at money, and you have no idea how many traps there are out there. You go to the grocery store. You can have the same for the same amount of calorie, You can pay $5 or you can pay $500. I mean, there's so many options of crap stuff that you can buy, and women fall for all of it. T.S. Apostolos says, but JF, as you said, with Mama JF, she spends what is made. JF tonight, I know this to be true. There are times in my life where I've been folding to woman's request, and Mama JF was one of them. But I always folded in the knowing that I had enough money to do it. I had the luxury to offer a luxurious lifestyle to a woman. And I have always made sure that if I'm going to release some money like this, if I'm going to pay you stuff that I know is absolute luxury crap, that is worth absolutely nothing, you better make babies. And I'm going to be very happy as long as there are babies coming out. That is my attitude. And I think it's fine. You know, I think it's fine to leak a little bit when you know you're getting the goods of baby production.
This is me because I worked 8.5 hours a day knowing that it's not enough, that it won't be enough. Fuck you, Ontario.
Fuck you, Ontario. Yeah, I mean, she's right, you know. She's right. The big issue to begin with is to live in these leftist places. These leftist places are arranged to squeeze you like a lemon if you don't already have paid property there. That is, if you're in these leftist places that are in constant state of inflation, everything costs more and more, and the new people who are coming in are unable to make it, and you have the big mortgages that you never get to fully pay. But if you already are there, then you can follow the inflation by the inflation of your already existing house. So these liberal places are basically machines developed to enrich boomers. That's how they work. And you can be a part of the slave class of boomers who already have their houses and they paid it decades ago when they were not worth $500,000. And now they're slowly rising. And as they rise, the boomer can get away with a relatively fine, you know, the same salary as you would have, but you'd be struggling. They can get away with it because they already have the value of their house. The value of their house is rising. Worst case scenario, they could sell and downgrade a little bit. So that is the key to, this is the most important thing I have to share to young guys. You have to be at the right place where there's not much people yet, but eventually there will be people. And you can surf on the waves of leftist parasitizing of your city. The way you do this is you buy a house before the leftists are in. You let them hipsterize and crap that place into leftist hell. And then you sell. You sell because there's always going to be a fucking leftist woman willing to buy your house 10 times the price you paid because it's beside an elementary school. And she's going to have to pay for it. Because you stood there, you stood by your value, you let the elementary school being built, and now it's time to cash out. And then you move away 200 kilometers to the north from whatever place the leftists have currently invaded. That's how it's done. You want to know the secret to civilizationary inflation? You have to be at the border of it. And you have to surf on the wave. The wave is coming from the big city to the sides. Be there before the wave comes in. Wait for it. And then propulse yourself further away from the city. If you do like her, You think society has gotten it for you. You think society has arranged everything for you. You think, oh my God, they got a job for me. They got a job just at the right place where there's also an elementary school where I can bring my children. It's like, no, it's a recipe for fucking you up. It's a recipe for enslaving you. And they know exactly the tricks. Even the salary will look fine to you at some point. And then the inflation will come. And then you're going to be faced with impossibility to survive. And they're going to, instead of you cashing out from the wave of leftists, they're going to cash out on you by kicking you out of your house, which you weren't able to pay anyway, and they're going to replace you with the next slave. Why do you think politicians and a part of the population wants immigration so hard? A small part of the population. I'm not talking about the everyday people here. But it's a business. They need new slaves to replace the old slaves who have realized the scam. DK Shadow says, it's a trap. Yes, it's a trap. By the way, today someone called me from an audience member, and I've been giving counseling. I really like doing this. People pay me and they say, JF, I want to hear your counseling about me for an hour or two. I really love doing this. And it was, I'm always stunned by how prepared these guys are. The people of our audience, they have everything figured out. They are in very good position. Sometimes they just need one or two kicks from me to put them on the right place for this. But one of the constant things in this community that I find, and probably I have attracted people like this through my behavior, through my ways of being, I find that our community has paralytic anxiety. The big problem of us geeks and people who are listening to JFG tonight is we have everything set in place. We have been acting conservatively. We've been intelligent with our money. And some of you are sitting on piles of Bitcoin and cash. It is wonderful to see this. It's like you have all the ingredients. But now it's like there is this paralysis that you're so conservative in your mind that you just stay in place. You don't want to waste. You don't want to, oh, I'm afraid if I go see a woman, will there be a gold digger that takes my money? And it's like, it is a very rare counsel that you have to give to normies and NPCs. Because the normies out there, they do too much stuff. They will catch anything in their environment and they'd be like, oh, I want to hear about this. The problem in this community is completely reverse. We are too intelligent, too theoretical, and it's our interfacing with the world that is causing problems. And so my counsel to him this afternoon was, look, you have to go out there. You have to be out there. Expand your radar, talk to women a lot, travel by car, stop being afraid, protecting your Bitcoin, protecting your money, protecting your house. You made it. You're rich. You're doing good. Now you have to get out there and get with the dirty real world. You know, you have to interface with it, because although secretly every woman will fold to $1 million, you know, basically... Women are programmed to fall in love with you if you have $1 million. But they're not going to do it if that's all you have to offer. You have to somehow be also some kind of jazz musician or some fine appreciator of hipster beer, a brewery, or whatever. You have to have something about yourself that you do. Even if it's an illusion, even if it's a straight-out lie, honestly. It's like, you can't just say, oh yeah, I'm rich, so I have lots of Bitcoin, so my job is, oh well, I'm just sitting on my Bitcoins, you know? Not getting out of my house, just staying beside my metal cards. You have to acquire some social status, bro. Even if it's absolute crap, I don't care if it's salsa dancing at the fucking community village party room. You have to have something. That is all I had to tell this guy. But, you know, it's amazing that I have to tell this to him, because in the end, I agree with his lifestyle. As far as I'm concerned, staying close to your family, staying home and protecting your Bitcoin metal plates, that is all I would do. That is all I would love to do. But yeah, you do have to, unfortunately, create a delusion in the woman's head that you are somehow socially approved. And that means being some kind of leader of something or engaged in some realization that is fake meritocratic. The true meritocracy of the world is if you bought Bitcoin before 2018, you're a fucking genius, and that is all the world needs from you. But that is, women need more. The women want to have a sort of spectacle of you. You have to be a celebrity of some sort. I'm not talking YouTube or internet, but you have to be a local celebrity at best. You know, John Drake says, how many Bitcoin to be wealthy in 10 years? What do you think, JF? Well, it depends. I mean, I expect every Bitcoin peak to be about 3x the last Bitcoin peak. So if you want to count 10 years, that's 3 bull runs. I expect, therefore, 3x, 3x, 3x. So one Bitcoin would get you $1 million in about 10 years. Frederick von Finkel says, JF, can genes be social or asocial? I have a theory. White people are two species, social genes and asocial genes. Well, yes, in a evolutionary stable equilibrium, you can have a part of the species. It's not a separate species. It's just a part of the species evolves to be a certain way. And because too much of this has diminishing returns, another part of the species evolves to be the contrary. That's an evolutionary stable equilibrium. It happens in very simple mathematical scenarios like the hawk and dove game. Imagine that you have hawks, and the hawks, they want to hunt a dove, okay? They make their living out of eating the prey animal. But every time they encounter another hawk, they have to fight for their status, and they could die from it. So you have a high reward for being a hawk as long as you're alone. If you can have a single hawk in a game like this, you're going to dominate all of the other encounters. You're going to dominate the doves and get away with a winning prize every time. Now, that means there's more hawks. And if there's more hawks, then suddenly all of your encounters aren't doves anymore. Suddenly you encounter other hawks, and they are a risk to your life. Now, you can still grow as long as there are enough doves to generate enough peaceful encounter that you can eat them. Now, eventually, there are so many hawks because the hawks are farming themselves into existence. They are naturally selected. Eventually, there are so many hawks that they can only find a dove very rarely. Most of the time, they look somewhere, it's going to be another hawk. And then there's going to be a fight, and they're going to potentially die from it. So then the hawk population reduces, and then the dove population increases, because suddenly, while the hawks are fighting between one another, the doves, they make their living. Their living is just staying peaceful, not being able to fight a hawk, but also needing less energy to survive. Therefore, they just go around and find peaceful encounters with other doves. As the hawk population diminishes, they can rise. So definitely, that is possible for every possible human social behavior. You could think of them as a massive multiplayer game of hawk and dove and various other forms of game theory, game theoretic games. Yeah, totally, that makes sense. Shringmamel has okay, this one I answered. T.S. Apostolos says, please play the short clip of Baze, the actual feminist whom Fourth Wave ECT fans hate, and respond in relation to Rusty Rockets.
There's a problem?
Oh my god, Camille Paglia. Not her. Oh my god.
Homosexual assault? Because a lot of women are coming forward now.
In cases of real rape, of course should be prosecuted.
By the way, this woman in the 80s and 90s was saying, isn't it great, this link between homosexuality and pedophilia? And she was saying how great it is that it's okay that homosexuals, ultimately, they overlap with the pedophilia community. And isn't it great that children get introduced to sex by them? I actually documented her statements on Wikipedia. And it was a case where someone came to me. It was one of the big YouTuber guys. And he had said, Jeff, wasn't it Resurrection Europa? Wasn't it him? And he was saying, Jeff, I'm trying to push this onto Wikipedia, but it's a Wikipedia leftist bureaucracy there. They don't want her to be presented as supporting pedophilia. And so they keep deleting my stuff. And I had gone through the whole process of fighting with the local bureaucrat, raising it as an issue to the Wikipedia editor. And eventually the paragraph stayed there for many years. I don't know if it's still there, but there was a guy obsessed with deleting it. And I was like, I'm going to put it back. Oh, well, now it's been 3 deletion. I am raising an appeal. And it's a long process where it's fucking annoying, you know? Because everyone in the process is a fucking leftist. And that's why Wikipedia sucks. Anyways, all this to say, this woman, when it was fashionable within the left academia then, was totally fine with the idea of pushing the slide from homosexuality to pedophilia. Why don't we have our young boys trained to dick sucking by adult homosexuals?
Of course, real rape, okay, is a crime. But this is not real rape. We've been arguing.
Lifelong democratic feminists.
About dating encounters with miscommunications now for decades, okay? It's absolutely infantilizing to women. It must stop.
But you know that a lot of women are afraid of sexual assault or have been sexually assaulted. Should they not be able to go and drink and play beer pong and get drunk like the guys do? Like, they live in fear.
If you go to a fraternity house party, all right, with a chaos going on in the living room area, and a young man says to you, would you like to go up to my room? I'm sorry, okay? You are consenting to sex. He is right to think you have consented, okay? To go up there and so change your mind and so on.
This is all very based. But the problem is, I know this woman. If it's just about what she's saying there, that's wonderful. Yeah, we do have to teach to women that you cannot retroactively cancel your consent. You cannot, put yourself in situations that are so obviously sexual and then claim that it's a rape because technically the guy didn't say, do you want to have sex? She's right. The problem is, I know this woman. I know that what leads her to this based conclusion is a radical sexual liberation mindset. And I know that while she says this, she could also tell you that it's fine for children to have sex. So at some point, you're so sexually liberated within the far left that you reach certain based conclusions, but they are hidden in a larger umbrella of very bad conclusions that are absolutely not based.
Right. It's not right, of course, for anyone to impose themselves sexually on another person, naturally, okay? But women must realize they are now free. The sexual revolution has been won. Why are we coddling young women, okay, to say, go on being, children, because mommy and daddy will be there to pick up the pieces for you afterward.
Shouldn't men be afraid of the consequences of of we have not laws. Getting consent?
We have laws on the books, okay, against rape, okay? But the point is right now, okay?
But everybody in that world will tell you it's almost impossible to for women to have the strength to come forward, to make the case, and
so on. Oh, Lord, okay. We're going to go on like this, making endless excuses for middle-class girls, okay, confused, unsure of what they want, okay? Perhaps the sexual revolution should be reversed, okay? Because what we're showing is that perhaps co-education is a bad idea, okay? Maybe today's young women, okay, are not prepared for co-education.
You think that?
See, she's appealing to a responsabilization of women. She's absolutely right on this. And I know she's been doing this for years, where I agree with her on this. She understood that the infantilization of women through this whole, you know, you've been raped and, oh my God, you are a victim, and you are a victim even if it wasn't a rape, even if you didn't say no as it was happening. She understands the misguidance of the left on this. But I know where it comes from, and I have great difficulty standing by anything coming out of Camille Paglia's mouth. She is totally an example of a Marxist feminist academic type of sexual revolution thinker, that, and I have seen her lose her. I have seen her when the context wasn't so puritan as today. Today, if she was to say what she's been saying about homosexuals and pedophilia, she would do a scandal and people would shame her for this. But back in the days where there was looser mediatic standards and not everyone was connected, you know, and it wasn't the internet days then, in these moments, she has shown the fundamental flaw to her thinking, which is this girl is really just about sexual liberation of any kind. She has no moral pillars to separate what is legitimate sexual liberation, like she's talking about now, and what is illegitimate. She's merely being repressed here because she's in the modern world and she knows very well that what she's been saying about pedophilia before is not sayable. So she didn't learn by having fundamental pillar, having good values. She learned by social repression. She knows that she would get in trouble if she was to reveal her true thinking about this. So in general, be very careful with Camille Paglia, a woman highly promoted by, was it Jordan Peterson that kept that covered her or made tweets about her? I would have to research. Don't exactly remember, but she's been in the network, see? Stick Sex and Hammer has no access to his YouTube channel anymore. My God, he is in some other country and he lost his cell phone number, so he cannot recover his account. And he lost his laptop that had the password recorded. My God, you have to be careful when you're a YouTuber. You have to keep track of your accounts and you have to keep control of them. This is a video that I had looked at, of course, 2 days ago. Back when I looked at it and showed it on the stream, I didn't know, but the person on the bicycle that these two black guys are pursuing and they are just randomly hitting, just out of nowhere for no reason.
You sick, bitch!
We now learn, I had shown this video, but then people told me that the guy is dead. They killed this 64-year-old ex-policeman, a retired policeman. Can you imagine? You've been working all of your life for applying the law and you just die on your bicycle as you enjoy retirement from this policeman carrier. It's absolutely disgusting. And people were comparing this to Jordan Neely. And it's like, yeah, in the case of Jordan Neely, we have a white man on the subway who tried to limit a situation in which there was someone making comments and being aggressive verbally to others and showing signs that he was willing to attack them. And so a man tried to neutralize another man for safety on the subway. And it gets national coverage because it's a white man that ended up killing a black man. Here we have psychopaths, like actual criminal, who are just doing killing for fun. And we don't get the racial coverage from the national media. That is what Eva Vlarden Gerbrook is saying. Oh my God, this woman to me is, I mean, she is the perfect woman. This is exactly the kind of woman for whom it's a heartbreak that we have to rate women on a ladder of 10. Because if there was a spot that can justify the 11, yes, 11 out of 10, Eva Vlarden Gerbrook is on her own category. She is perfection. One day you will be mine. One day you will be mine. No, I don't think so. But wow, what a woman. And a free thinker also. It's unbelievable. Frederik von Finkel says, I like brunettes. Well, I think that she has a tinted hair. Because her eyebrow are not blonde. And so it's my conclusion that she must be coloring her hair blonde. So since you like brunettes, I think you have what you need in her. 2023 is Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni's first full year in office, and African migrants are at Lempeh, USA. And they are now building roadblocks as a protest against Italian authorities. Meloni has yet to act. People are disappointed with this Meloni who ran a campaign on the basis of being someone with a... There's a fly here. Being someone with a strong stance against immigration. And she doesn't seem to be acting enough for her supporters. Yeah, I don't know how Lampedusa is pronounced. Now people are laughing their ass off. I've been reading this word because this has been in the news for a whole week. And I've been reading this word on my Twitter, and I've been thinking of it in my head as Lempeh, USA. you know, initially, the first time I saw the word, not knowing that it was in Italy, now I understand that it's Italy, but it stayed like this in my head. So it stayed like Lempeh, USA in my head. Lempeh, comma, USA. In my head. We can't just let this happen. You need a mechanism to keep people out, or else they will set camp and they will look poor and they will look in need, and eventually someone's going to bring them food. And even if you don't do it as the government, some George Soros-sponsored entity is going to do it. You need a mechanism to ensure that your country has borders. Okay, we have many super chats coming in. Thank you so much all for your generosity. How do I even see all of the super chats? Let's see. Okay, a based Swedish person has sent 100 LBC. He says, "Hello, I have school tomorrow." Okay, I'm going to remove the super chat because of the rest of your statement. Here, you are removed. Shrink Mamel says, "Jeff, okay, this one I read." Silver Spider says, "Hey, Jeff, recently a guy I knew killed himself and his mother a year after his father died. Seemed hopelessly depressed about the future, maybe an incel, but not violent. Is there any way to predict and prevent this kind of stuff?" No, you always have people theorizing after the fact, "Oh, I knew he was that way," or "I had my doubts," or "he was acting bizarre." But from a predictive perspective, it's not enough to just have signs that after the fact you say, "Oh, I should have known that this was the case." From a predictive perspective, the question is, if I was to note all bizarre people that I know of and predict he's going to be a school shooter, he's going to kill his mother, he's going to do, would I have any predictive power then? That is the question. And the answer is no, I don't know of any solid evidence that we could have such predictors. I know that people have been working on this, especially, you know, AI type of social media people have been arguing, "Oh, maybe we could predict crime in advance." And maybe there's some of this going on in a way that we're not informed about. There may be some, to some extent, Facebook may have secret programs alongside the FBI and may have some crime predicting algorithms that may be more performative than the ones we know about. But as far as the academia goes and the public knowledge about this, all we have is very loose correlations. We are certainly not at the point of a pre-crime detection, Minority Report style of system. And it would be dramatic if we were, because the problem is you are truly going to oppress a bunch of people who just happen to be weird and who have nothing to do with the crime that you think you're predicting. So it would be an absolute drama if we were to start using any of these tools. Shamrock Shake says, "This has got to be a coordinated plan. No competent leadership would have open borders." Yeah, yeah. Shring Mamel says, "JF, what is your opinion on gold and silver? I own both of them." I think that they have been performing extremely well. So if you own them, you're happy. Congratulations. But it's not my thing. I don't like gold and silver because I think they could eventually be replaced as a store of value. And when that happens, you know, our real need for gold is not as big as the market would have you believed. We don't need gold. Gold has turned out to be a store of value to protect against inflation up to now. But if it ever was to be the case that it's not anymore, that something comes to replace it, like Bitcoin, that would be a dramatic news for gold owners. So be careful with gold. The era of gold may be over. You know, we may have created something to replace it. I don't fully think that this has to happen, but it's a risk, and you should be aware of this as a gold holder. I think that generally gold will do relatively well, but slightly worse than crypto, and then slightly worse, and then much worse, and then eventually, perhaps within an horizon of 50, 100 years, would eventually look ridiculously low compared to crypto. So it's not a bad thing to have, but it's not as good as crypto. Personally, I would never buy an ounce of gold. I would never buy a a dollar worth of gold. I don't want anything in physical form. I truly believe in the virtual world and the strength of virtual assets. That is just who I am, and I'm willing to die on that hill. You know, if you tell me that, oh, in the future, the internet becomes so passé and Bitcoin is a subject of mockery, I'll still be holding the Bitcoins. I don't care. I will stand there as a representative of a world that could have existed but didn't. John C. says, what are your thoughts on Euro-Asians becoming a large minority in Europe and the U.S.? Euro-Asians. So you're talking about mixed race, European and Asians becoming a large minority. I think it's going to happen to some extent. I don't know what would be your criteria for large. I don't think they're ever going to be a... The thing is, wherever there are lots of Asians, you will also find a lot of Indians. And so in Western civilization, in the places where there's mixing. For example, in Canada, you have places of lots of East Asians, but you will also find a lot of Indians. And it's hard to predict what will happen. Will all of these people mix together and create basically a new race of mixed in Indian, East Asian, and European blood? Or will there be like pairings where the Indians go with the Indians and the East Asians go mostly with the East Asians and then some degree of intermixing with Europeans? I don't know how it will all turn out. But let me tell you, there are a lot of Indians in Canada, and when I see them largely dating within their Indian sphere. I see them with their Indian symbols, dressed as Indians, having an Indian wife. I see not much mixing coming. I don't know what Hinduism is their religion. I don't know what's the deal with this and whether it's a particularly important thing to them, but I see them as a strong contingent in Canada, but that doesn't intermix very much. Whereas the East Asians, they also have high preference for themselves. But they are much more integrated, and they tend to come from previous waves of immigration that truly adapted the Canadian lifestyle, that they bear less clear demarcation of their separate identity from Canada. So I don't know what's going to happen with this, but you tell me, well, will there be a East Asian / European large minority of mixed people? It's not looking like it's going to happen soon. There's going to have to be change in behavior if this is to happen, because the dating preferences are still largely within race. We're clearly not at the point where mixed people will come to be a solid, block, where they would form cities and where they would have their own identity. There are some of them out there. There is the Timpul. Occasionally, the occasional temple here and there. But that's pretty much it. And they have not formed a full population yet. They may never, like in the short term, 50, 100 years. Eventually, if we think long term over the thousands of years, I believe that the European people is destined to breed with the Asians. And I believe that the Asian lands may be the only destination available for white people eventually to survive a genocidal force that will rise within most of the places we've historically occupied. So I believe that this is bound to happen on an horizon of 1,000 years. Eventually, we're going to have to flee, and the place we might have to flee to is Asia, or a kind of on the edge of some Asian country. And Russia might also be a target. So I believe that the world is bound to have this collision that never happened fully yet between the Asian world going east and the European world going west. When you think about it from a planet Earth perspective, you know, if you're a Western European like me, you've been largely taught a version of history that is a progression toward the West. And it's what formed our genetic basis. You know, it was the Indo-European conquest of the Western European continent, largely happening above Africa. And then the immigration of the Western European people to North America, to America in general. We never really continued. We never really penetrated the Asian continent. And the Asians, on the other hand, at a later wave, that is, our colonization of America comes in the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th century in the Western direction. And the East Asians are now colonizing the West of America, and they have been doing so for about 100 years with the history of the Japanese immigrants of America and eventually the current state of large immigration contingents coming from Asian nations to Western Canada and Western US and elsewhere in the countries too. So you have a collision that hasn't fully happened yet, because as the Asians come in, they are largely integrating the local social norms. They are sometimes starting a restaurant with some Chinese identity, but very often, you know, it's Chinese symbols, but the cuisine is largely not a traditional Asian cuisine. It's really an American Chinese cuisine that rises when... Now you have the sushi experts, some of them Japanese and some of them bringing in true sushi knowledge from Japan. But even that is subject to a kind of Americanization. So there is some amount of mixing between the two civilizations. And when our civilizations fall, I believe that we will have to continue our traveling west. I believe that we've went around the world and we will have to collide with the quality people that we found in the Asian world, simply because the people that will eventually populate our nations will just be too dangerous for us. It's a black-pilled view of the world, but it's like I've been right about a couple of things and I'm afraid that I'm right on this one, long-term, very long-term. Now, this one is a prediction that I can't fully verify. I'm going to be dead by the time it happens. But I believe that there will be a people that will stem from the mixing of the Asian and the European that will be free once again. That will be free like the traditional English conception of freedom, that this cultural element that the American Constitution is needs to be transferred to a demographically stable place of escape. And that this demographically stable place of escape can soon only be either Russia or Asia. And yes, I believe this is going to happen. So yes, the Euro-Asian race will rise. Ultimately, that's my answer to your super chat. Although I don't see that as so important, and I'm kind of trolling when I say that. But yeah, I do think it will happen, you know, and I know that people call me a betrayer because of this. It's like, oh, you are betraying the white race. Well, the white race will be betrayed by all sides. The white race will be fucked by all possible sides. You can see the hate rising against us right now. And it's just the beginning. Because that hate, you know... In a world where there's still some sort of law applied, where there's still some sort of way to protect you against that hate, still some sort of white flight possible, in that world, it it doesn't show its full force, but the hate of white people that I see rise in our current society, I don't see an end to it. I see that the end of it is when there's no more white people to hate, and when we have fully moved away from the haters. Yeah, quite dark of a thinking, but that's my thinking. Cloud Warmer says, all of my experience observing Indian dating dynamics, co-workers, etc., seems to be that they end up dating Indian women out of necessity, not choice. They got sold a dream that they would be porno-style slaying all sorts of women, but women in general seem to be rather race-loyal. Absolutely. Whether it's by choice or by... To me, I don't differentiate between choice and what people do. Ultimately, the only thing that matters is what people do. And yes, Indians largely stay within the Indian race when dating. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, aside from Asia, what about South America? There is regions inside South America that have European diaspora. Do you think Musk knows that is why he wants to go to Mars? Most racist of other races want us gone. Maybe that's the future. We leave Earth. Richard Spencer says, white destiny is in space. I would love space to be available for colonization. I personally don't believe it's going to happen. I believe it's too hard, technically. South America, I believe, will be just in more trouble and quicker than even Canada, France. I believe South America is the example of what we're perpetually bound to become. Yes, there are European diaspora there, but they exist on kind of economic leverage, and they are faced with forces that they can't handle. Eventually, white people, I'm not saying they will white people will completely disappear from South America, but their life is not going to be easy in socialist countries that are controlled by other races. So I don't believe it's a realistic target area for a free white people to rise again. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, also regarding Indians, there is something to be said about the system seeming to impose them throughout the West into the management class, not just in big business, but also in politics. Yes, it is a fascinating aspect of big tech and the complete domination of Indians in the whole executive cruise of big tech. And it's like, why? And it's ultimately due to a mix of the history of English colonization of India, the fact that Indians have been developing a specialty, you know, really learning English and really integrating within the English economy, and being in the third world, being able to, if you can just have a internet access and speak English in a somewhat acceptable way, that gave them a place to integrate with the English culture, where coming with third world salaries, they could deliver much better than an American and at much, much lower price. So that is what led India to develop a contingent of relatively okay English speakers, which eventually led to the current state of immigration and H-1B visas, and a lot of them came to big tech. And because ultimately, the computer world is a fair world. That is what's amazing. The computer world, development, coding, you can have an African, and of course, the African may have problems because he has a slower computer and a slower internet connection. But if you can arrange these things, ultimately, the African is at the same level as me in terms of the libraries we have access to, in terms of the amount of hours he has in the day. Ultimately, if there were really skilled African coders, they could make it with no barrier of entry other than the price of a computer and the price of the internet. which is why there's been a movement in Africa. So let's create a whole continent of coders. Let's all learn to code, which of course, it's hard. It's hard because you need to be a good coder. It's not just the infrastructure. You may have access to the libraries. They're there right in your face, but sometimes you just don't have the inner talent and logic. And that's ultimately, so you were asking me, why is India dominating the tech sector? Well, India is out there with 1 billion people. And so because there's 1 billion people and you have the H-1B visa mechanism to slice off the higher IQ part of their curve, and because they are in contact enough with English culture that there's enough of them that are relatively high intelligence and able to integrate the U.S., that leads to a selection drainage of the high IQ Indians toward the H-1B visa employment market in America. That is why ultimately you have a bunch of Indians just featured in movies and managerial class and everywhere. There's many of them to begin with. They are a large chunk of the world. So just out of random, you're going to have some high IQ in there. You chop them off from their community through brain drain and H-1B visa and all sorts of arbitrary immigration rules. And that makes it just hard for a low IQ to fill all these forms. And then you end up with them doing well in the U.S. Because when you look at their average salary, it's higher than white people. But that's because they come from a basis of selection. If you had imported all of the 1 billion Indians in here, their average salary would be much lower than the white people. But you only imported the ones who could kind of be a credible employee for a high tech type of world. And so you've ended up selecting. I'm going to have to end the show soon, but I just wanted to talk about our main subject. I mean, the show was so fun in terms of you guys' super chats and questions that I forgot to talk about our main subject. Russell Brand is accused by four different women. Four women are alleging sexual assaults between 2006 and 2013. 2013, the latest. So the most recent rape we're talking about here is 10 years old. 10 years already. And that's a problem. That is why we had Windows statutory limits. We had statutory limits. It's because we can't live with the ever-growing risks of all the people we have stacked interactions with in our life, and they come 20 years, 30 years, 10 years later, and they're all pissed and they make up stuff. And there's no way for justice to happen because both the allegation itself and its counter become unverifiable, because who keeps records? I can't keep record about all the women I fucked 20 years ago. And you shouldn't have to do this. And for this, there's been the statutory windows where you cannot prosecute for a crime that has happened decades ago. And there has been justifiable exceptions for the statutory limits. For example, I think it's fine that for a murder, for an intentional murder, I think it's fine that we can. There's no limit, or the limit is very high, and you can find evidence 30 years later in DNA science improving, and you can come back and prosecute a murder that you hadn't prosecuted before. But for that kind of stuff, rape, where there's not going to be more data as time passes, you're going to have less and less data, and it's going to be more and more of an undeterminable case as you progress through time. That is exactly the kind of crimes we need statutory limits for. Trig Mamel says, Jeff, what do you think the normie squeeze will do to the dating market? It's going to throw women in our arms, my friend. The normie squeeze is the most positive event for the general men out here. It is the most positive event you will have ever experienced on the dating market. There is gold. There is a treasure out there, ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen, mostly. There is a treasure coming our way. And I am promising to you that after the normie squeeze, there will be greener pastures on which we can live. And there will be more women throwing themselves into your arm. You know, this woman that we've seen crying at the beginning of the show, maybe she's too old for you, Shring Mamel, but women like her that are younger will have realized, hey, I need a man. Because I've seen these other women, they can't make it. And it's going to be absolutely beautiful, especially if you have Bitcoin, because then you're going to come out positively from the normie squeeze that will be pushing down the normie negatively. So the future is great. We're going to have great coming years. And what mostly has to happen is we have to have this bull run. Then we have to have a crash of the real estate market. And the normie squeeze, I expect, if it reaches any sort of peak, the peak normie squeeze should be in about 3 to 6 years from now. That is when the woman will start falling in your arm because they really have no other choice. They're going to come in your life with $200,000 debt, zero assets, and that's what it's going to be. And because they're going to have been farmed into this unproductive lifestyle by biased leftist capitalism. Shring Mamel says, I've already noticed the bar hoes don't go out as much in my local area. It's going to be beautiful. They're going to find inside themselves the kind of based woman, cave woman, prostitute that exists in their heart. They're going to reawaken her. And everything is going to be simpler because they're going to be like, okay, I fucked up. I bought this house I couldn't afford. I bought this car I couldn't afford. Now I'm just going to listen to this man. Tell me what to do, great master. The coming normie squeeze, ladies and gentlemen, will be absolutely historical. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, how much normie squeeze do we need for go away to have access to the woman that Shrig Mamel does not want? Are we talking full Great Depression Berlin or even worse? For go away to even be able to approach the woman that Shrig Mamel seems satisfied by, we would need a normie squeeze of proportions of the kind that has never been seen in human civilization. I'm sorry, my predictions are that go away will remain single, even in an extreme normie squeeze. You know the creepy looking guy in the movie 300? That's go away. His fate is either to serve no purpose at all, either in war or reproduction, or be the creepy betrayer who goes to whisper to the great leader of the other tribe what is the trick to beat the 300 guys. That's who Goa is, and the future is not bright for this person. All right, so my conclusion on Russell Brand, that sounds like absolute bullshit stories. 2006, 2013, unverifiable, untestable. One woman alleges that Brand raped her against a wall. It's always against a wall. Like, it's not even a practical way to rape. It's like, yeah, I can swallow. Even if I wasn't in the process of attempting a rape, I think it would be hard for me to actually hold a woman who actually wants to escape my grasp against a wall. It's very hard. Like the underhook, the science of underhooks and clinch work. I mean, I've been listening to MMA for decades now, and I don't think I could pin someone to the wall, you know, keeping them from escaping, let alone fuck them in the process also. What the fuck? Why is it always against a wall? Because it's a fucking vision in your mind. You're fantasizing about being pinned against a wall. The reality is that walls are extremely impractical sex objects. They are not as good as bed. She was treated at a rape crisis center on the same day. The problem is that you create records, but you have absolutely deluded women who they're creating records. It's like, oh yeah, here, I have a record. I went to the rape crisis center. Yeah, I have no doubt you went because you're fucking deluded. But what you said to the rape crisis center doesn't make it a rape. A second woman alleges that Brand assaulted her when he was in his early 30s and she was 16 and still at school. What's the age of consent in the UK? 16 years old. So he had the right to have sex with you and you consented. So it's not an assault. Now they say, oh, in their relationship, he was referring to her as the child. Yeah, but that's not pedophilia. And I know why they are inserting this here. It's to kind of suggest that, oh yeah, maybe he's some kind of pedophilia type of guy. But no, you were 16. The age of consent is 16. If he was calling you the child in a kind of playful way, that doesn't make it pedophilia. That doesn't make it assault. That doesn't make it harassment. It's a cute way to highlight the fact that you were very young. But you were a young adult capable of making decisions by the standard of UK law. If you don't like UK law, change UK law. We're not going to pursue males who do legal stuff in your country. A third woman claims that Brand sexually assaulted her while she worked with him in Los Angeles and that he threatened to take legal action if she told anyone else about her allegation. Yeah, well, if you got sexually assaulted, you got raped, the time to pursue this thing was when it happened, you call the police and you say, hey, he forcibly put his penis inside my vagina. Can we get some DNA samples? Do you have a recording? Can you prove that it happened? You go to the police and you prove it. The fourth woman alleged being sexually assaulted by Brand and him being physically and emotionally abusive toward her. Bullshit, I don't believe this. If you include the words physically and emotionally abusive, that means you can't name the crime that exactly happened. Was there an assault? Was there a physical assault? Was there a rape? But it was physically and emotionally abusive. No, that is too general of a term. I am at the point where I need a conviction to even start caring about any of this crap. Because you ladies have been abusing your signaling capacities. You've been using this as a political tool to crash the careers of men. And we always see this being pulled against men who are somewhat against the system. They are at the peak of some aspect of their revolution against the system. They are ideological thinkers who are truly principled and who truly believe very hard in what they do, like Julian Assange, like Russell Brand. I've put someone else on the thumbnail. Yeah, Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate is another one. So we know the pattern. There's even millennial woes. I was thinking I could have added millennial woes to the thumbnail tonight because they pulled this against millennial woes also. Fuck this crap. I'm not believing anything at this point but a conviction. And at this point, the leftists are so crazy that honestly, I'm reaching the point where I'm starting to believe I might have to stop believing in convictions. That's where I'm at. So you guys want to push this to that point where even if you were convicted of rape, I still don't believe you committed a rape? Well, get me there. I think I'll be there very soon. That's it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow.